You're listening to the Penrith Perception Podcast, where we drive discussions about the cogs and gears that run a selective high school in New South Wales. We're your hosts, Shamila
and Ree, and in today's episode, we continue our discussion on Public Education Week. If you haven't listened to part one, where we talked to our Deputy Principal, Miss Lamb, about her experience and thoughts on public education, make sure to check it out. Today, in part two, we will be speaking with Miss Chapman, one of our amazing English teachers, about the values that make public education so powerful.
Check it out.
So, hello, Miss Chapman.
Hello. Hi, Miss. Oh, my gosh. Wait, Ree, have you been taught by Miss Chapman before?
I have.
You have?
A very wonderful
Which
pleasure.
Which year was yours?
Year nine. And
I was taught by Miss in year eight. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah,
that was a great
so
class.
Long, Miss.
I really loved that class. And every now and then when I see you around, I'm like, oh, that was so much fun. It was a really good year.
Yeah.
No, to this day, me and Patrick still talk about it. Like, we try still, you know, like the conversations we had, the way we just bounce off of each other. I know we were only in year eight. Back then, we felt like we were so much bigger.
It was such a mature class, though, because everyone was bouncing around ideas. And like you said, sometimes that is not always easy to get with students.
Yeah.
But and then there's sometimes when they just feel so natural with each other and happy and safe and they just
and
keep
also,
chatting.
Also that class in general, I'm very close with them. Like it was just a great class in general. Like we were all friends. So I feel like even to this day, like in English, we try to still mirror that. Like we literally planned it. We were like, you know, back in year eight, we did this. So I'm going to give it to you and then you give it to but actually trying to do it doesn't work.
There's some standouts. Really, I don't know. That dynamic was just particularly special as well.
No, it was.
I still remember it.
And I think some of my favorite pieces I've written were in that class as well.
No
I think there was one French Revolution one. I still read it every now and then.
Oh, that's really
cool. It was
cool.
So fun.
Yeah, because you did the history one.
History one, That was great.
Year nine was a time.
Yeah,
it was definitely a time. We were talking about it with Miss Lamb as well. Year nine was.
Year nine's a very particular stage
in
everybody's life.
Right before senior school.
Yeah, I think it was like the last time we were really chill ever. And then everyone just lost their chill and became like, guys, let's lock it now.
Reality.
Yeah, we were like, we actually have to focus.
And work.
Yeah. But still, English was so fun. Like, to this day, English has been my favorite class. Like, sorry, guys. English will be my favorite class.
Same.
Sorry to my other teachers.
We are
you all.
Students.
Yeah.
Above all.
All the right things. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
We want people to love coming to English.
Yeah.
And
so,
to see that it's valuable.
On that note, Miss, then what do you think made you want to become an English teacher?
Well, as you know, I really love when we're in a class and that experience happens that there's a student and they can be as young as like 13 and they see something special in the text that we're reading or the video that we're watching and they just come to life with that and they realize how it connects to so many other things or how powerful one word can be in the sentence that they're trying to create and craft. And I like when the students see that and value that. And getting to come to work every day and lots of the time having chats about the text that we're studying is pretty special that I get to have an extended discussion most days of my week talking about literature, talking about films and talking about poems. And then that's what the students come up and they talk about it in the playground later. They're like, have you read this? Have you seen that? I was doing this on the weekend. And that's really nice, like to have that shared love and that shared experience of something that everyone can access.
Yeah.
And we've got a great resource of materials that we have at Penrith that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I can imagine it's like somewhat like coming to work every day and just getting to enjoy your passions. Like that's like the dream. That is the dream.
It's definitely the highlight of the job. And if all aspects could be like that, no one would ever, ever want to go home.
Yeah.
But it's certainly the best part of the job that we get to make these relationships with all of these different little people that grow into big people and that grow into adults. And we get to have that regular passion and we get to have that regular experience exploring these fantastic things that we have.
I was going to say, Miss, actually, I think that's also the reason that I'm so excited coming into English classes. I think that it's really just, I love having those conversations. We were talking about with Miss Lamb that I think my most memorable moments from high school haven't really been what I'm learning and all that stuff, but more so the conversations I've had with teachers, whether it's about the content that's being studied or just in general, just random stuff that, you know, about our days, our weeks, you know. So I think, and the best thing is in English, we do so much of that for everything. And I love media, films, reading, literature, like you mentioned. So I think Yeah, there is something really special of just being able to talk about something that we're studying and connect it to real life and what's going on in our world.
And that learning, particularly in English, like the success at the end of the lesson doesn't come from how much students have written in their book and how much working out they can show or how many answers they have. Sometimes that learning is just from the conversations that they have or the shift in perspective that they had experienced during the lesson.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where we see those successes and why it's great to have a workbook full of beautiful things and it's tidy and it's neat that I think like what you said, Shamala, like the conversations are what stand out, not necessarily what worksheet they pasted in or what they
definitely.
Oh my gosh, don't even, 100%. Yes. I agree with everything you say. I always say this so much. I'm like, I want less worksheets. I want to talk more. I want to like discuss things.
I think like for me, like in ancient history, like 99% of our lessons is just talking. And it's like, we learn about the content. Like that's, we're talking about the content, but it's like, my teacher, Miss Queet, she does it in such a like excellent way that you don't feel like you're being forced to like study something. You just feel like, wow, this is so interesting to like talk about and learn about. And it's like, I think definitely because we don't oftentimes we just end up taking our own notes as she's talking because it's like, wow, you're literally giving us a gold mine right now.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, people are recording the class. We're just like, let's go back and like write our notes on this. But it's like just being able to discuss everything that's going on. Like it's the more valuable part about each lesson. Because you actually retain the information more.
And it's kind of an unusual part of everyday life. Like most jobs, you don't go to work and you just discuss at length something and can go on all these different tangents. But in our classroom, which is like your work that you do, that is what happens and that's often where the value comes through and that you can have all of these different conversations and learn all of these different things and then you get back to the topic that you're studying and then you move in and out. And I like how it's in flux all the time, like things are always changing but you're still learning and it extends just beyond what the topic is.
Yeah, just on that note, like how do you encourage students to be like active and engaged learners in the classroom?
I guess that's tricky. I think I'm pretty enthusiastic and I try to
do this.
And I hope that then that just like spreads to the students. Like,
speaking from personal experience, it does.
So happy to hear you say that, but I don't know, if you're not passionate or you're not happy with what you're talking about, then it's hard to get other people to feel any kind of connection to it. But if you're like, this is really cool if we think of it this way and we can explore the topic in this way and this is how it connects to you, then not only will they see value in it, but they'll see that actually I have a place in learning this and I can learn something about myself as well as the topic. So I hope that I bring that enthusiasm. I feel I'm overly positive anyway and that I can maybe just get that one student who's not feeling really that bright or cheerful that day just to feel a little bit happier when they come in. Yeah. And you know, sometimes we do have to bog down and we do the work, but maybe in like a smiley, relaxed, happier really way.
So in that sense then, Miss, what role do you think students play in shaping their own education?
I think their role is so crucial that you choose sort of the success that you have. It's kind of like a pick your own adventure. You can pick whether you're going to feel great about your learning experience or whether you're going to begrudge it and find it just really, really challenging.
Mm.
That you're presented so many opportunities. And it's whether or not you seek them out or whether they're just there in front of you. And if you take those opportunities, if you take those lessons and you listen to the advice that's given to you, you can grow so much further. So you have to be like the controller here, that you can't expect somebody else to make you feel a particular way about the topic if you're not willing to come and play, or you have to bring something to the table.
Yeah.
So I think you make your own success, and that's what we see here as well. The students who feel passionate or feel interested or like curious, that they have the better experiences rather than the ones who just sit back. You can absolutely tell the ones who are inquisitive and that interests them.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think also something that we were thinking about was coming from a selective school experience, a lot of students kind of just think of these things having to do with grades only and, you know, oh yeah, I'll pay attention, but just so I can write notes for the, you know, exam or just, it's not really anything that they, you know, like it's, yeah. It has none of that passion. It's just about doing well on a
it's
test.
Like, it's like, oh, like I need that good mark at the end of the, at the end of the term. So I'm going to focus, but I don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously, I mean, marks do matter, you know, yeah. But I think that there has to be a balance. It can't just be, you know, all about like a number, you know what I mean?
And you're not robots just here to get a particular mark. Like exactly. You're here to grow and to grow up and to grow into good people and intelligent people. But at the end of the day, like this is your youth and this is like your childhood. So I think that why public education is so important is because like we're growing all of these new people into our society and we're shaping them as best that we can.
Yeah, definitely. Miss, real quick question. Have you always worked in public education?
I have, yes. I had like a stint as a casual teacher in a private school. It was very, very different. It's just, isn't what I'm used to. I don't quite understand what's going on here. So,
so would you say you prefer it here then?
I do. I think because we have like this consistency that no matter where you go, and all the schools are different, but there's something that still remains the same across them, even though it might look really different. Mm. That, you know, like I know what the expectations are of the school and what the expectations are of the students, and I know that as a society we've agreed upon that value, and that's what you can see in different schools. It just might have a slightly different appearance, but it's an agreed upon value.
Yeah. Like, what do you think about, like what is it about public education that makes it so special?
That we live in a society where we are valuing education so highly that we are going to make it so accessible. Any community that you go to, the smallest communities, they have a connection to a school, whether they have a physical one there or their learning happens sort of in a different capacity, that the school is such a central part and the public school is such a central part of most communities, and sometimes there's more than one. But we live in a society where that is so highly valued that no matter where you go, you'll always find the school. And to have that as such a core integral value of Australia and where we live is something that I think is really, really special. That every child, it doesn't matter where you are, you can go to school and you'll find someone who'll look after you. And, you know, schools are sometimes like the safe place for children and they need to have that there. And we're consistent. We're always here. Yeah. 5 days a week, there'll be someone there and someone there to look after people. Yeah. And whether that's in like a safety sense or just that they need to have like a brain break or that they love seeing their favorite teacher every day. Like, I think that's something that's shared across all different schools as well. And that's what public education offers and ensures its survival.
Yeah, we were talking about this with Ms. Lam as well, how public education really makes learning and like just generally like learning about the world so accessible to everyone. And even though there are still inequities around the world and like how even with like the way our public school is like in Australia and New South Wales, there is still some inequities. We've worked so hard to make sure that so many kids can get that opportunity. So I think that is really important.
And it's not perfect. And we always are aware of imperfections, but I don't think you can improve if you're not going to be aware of what is working and that you want to change it. And knowing that you want to make things better is surely a step in the direction that you need to be heading in. And hopefully like things just always continue to improve. And I think they do. Like even in the time that I've been teaching, like how much – just teaching has changed as well and how it like always grows and
how do you think adapts. It's changed, Miss?
Just like even the nature of learning. Like we didn't, when I first started teaching, like we didn't have like tech in the classrooms and like that access.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that access just to information just instantly has
with the internet, definitely.
Wildly. Definitely. And that, you know, you just bring out something from your backpack and all of a sudden you've got access to like journal articles that are written by, you know, someone at Yale, and you just use your student login and you can get all of that information.
I think we've really adapted to it as well, like making that an inclusive part of our, you know, curriculums. Like, okay, we understand this is something that we need to get used to. This is the future. So I think the school has done a really good job with including that as well, like making space for it.
This is something I've thought about often, and how much of like a privilege it is to be able to access all of these things from all around the world. Like sometimes, like as an ancient history kid and just as a history kid in general, sometimes I think about the people in the olden times and like how like all these historians that have shaped our world and stuff, and I'm just like, they couldn't just do a quick Google search to find out what the causes of the Peloponnesian War were.
And then it's just helped, you know, students who might not have access to the same kind of resources, but they still have access to knowledge just in different ways. Maybe it's helping to, you know, lessen where those gaps may be more present, that there are these opportunities. It's just if you choose to, you know, grab onto them or not. But yeah, just how accessible all of the information is, and just how it can be delivered in different ways, and how we can constantly make it easier for you to access what you need to access to help you be as successful as you can be.
And I also agree that it's like, it's not about how much, like, it's like you can access learning wherever you go. It's not about how much money you have, or like if you can fly over to like America and go to Yale and go to Princeton and actually learn the things in those courses. You can just get it online.
Because education should be free.
Yeah, I agree.
It should be.
Like definitely. And it's also like you get to access all of these institutions like across the globe. Like everyone shared their knowledge so well.
And I think one thing, Miss, that you mentioned earlier, it's definitely really resonated with me. It was about that sense of stability. I think as a high school student, we know teenagers go through highs and lows. During this time period, especially, things can be chaotic. I'm still going through it, but I know a lot of adults that I've talked to have said, you know, they reflect on it and they're like, oh, it's so different now, you know, compared to what they went through as a kid. And I think it's just that thing of like 5 days a week coming to this, like it's kind of like a safe space. And I know a lot of students in this school as well, especially, it's definitely a safe space knowing that their friends will be here, that their favorite teachers will be here, that they have the classes, everything, despite like a very ever-changing world, you know, where our context and everything it's shifting, you know, that's still the same. That's still like kind of like a rock. Yeah. So it's not like lost on me. It's very like, we very much appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. And I like that, you're describing it like a rock. And I think that that's what makes it so important for communities, like even the ones that are super remote, but that stability that's provided. Yeah, and through friendship groups, even just that the environment's lovely and that it's the same and you can feel safe and warm and then cool in summer and happy when you see your teachers here, that's pretty special.
Yeah,
I agree that the teachers at Penrith especially, they have shaped like so many students' lives, like teachers everywhere really, but like it's like they've all shaped everyone's lives so like intensely. Like we would like sometimes I think about it and it's we really would not be the same people that we are without the influence of the teachers that we have had, that we've had like been in their classes for and stuff.
I agree. I think that's the one thing that you would find no matter what age bracket you spoke to, that if they're talking about education, why it might be delivered differently, the one thing that would resonate is that they would have, you know, that special moment in the classroom or their favorite teacher, and they loved going to their lessons. That doesn't change, and that has stayed the same, even though education looks so different and it's delivered in all these different ways, but that has also remained the constant.
Yeah, it's like the human connections you make out of like being able to go to a public school that you wouldn't get if you weren't at school.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important with public education as well. It's just, it's not about who you know. And I like that it doesn't matter. You will get the skills that you need to receive to be successful in whatever you want to do, but you don't have to know the particular connections and it's not going to dictate whether or not you're going to be successful or not.
Like it opens the world up. Like you don't have, it's no more like, oh yeah, you were born into this family, so that's where your like career path is going to lie. It's like you know the skills, you know how to get far in life. You've been taught how to get far in life. So it no longer matters about like who you were born into or like what family, how much money you had as a kid. It's more like how much will you take your potential and go with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Miss, I think reflecting on your own high school or even primary school experience, do you have any like fond memories you'd be willing to share with us?
Yeah.
Any positive experiences?
Well, I guess like the teacher that I am now, and I'm hoping that's like someone who's enthusiastic and interested and, you know, like also approachable.
Definitely.
Okay, definitely. That's good to hear. Yes. No, I just remember I had one teacher when I was in year 11, and they were a very new, a young teacher, and they were so happy to be there. Like they were just excited to share. And we were talking about Greek gods, and she loved Greek mythology, and she was just so enthusiastic by it. And it was a subject that I didn't really know that much about. I was keen to take history, and I'm a history teacher as well. But just how excited she was, and we're like, like these are the narratives that you're spinning about all of these ancient events that have happened, and like just her capacity to have us sitting at the edge of our seats while she told us these stories and why we learned about these civilizations. It just felt so inspirational. I don't think she was the most successful teacher either. Like I don't think I got the best grades with her than I did with some of the other teachers, but it was what she gave us when we were with her that really resonated and stood out, and that she was always willing to listen, and she was just always there and ready for us. And if we needed to pause and do something else, like she was really just flexible, and it just always stood out.
No, I think that you're definitely right. I think that when teachers are enthusiastic, it really rubs off on students as well, and vice versa, honestly.
Yeah,
I see that a lot. When students are willing to participate, then I think you see teachers being very like interested as well. Yeah.
It's like, it definitely is a two-way street. Yeah. Like it's you give and you get, you receive.
Yeah.
You just can't be the only person here just giving everything, or otherwise like you will just be an exhausted heap at the end of the day. You need to get things back, and that energy is like reciprocal.
Yes, definitely.
So, Miss, just out of curiosity, what's like a pattern that you see is like the difference between like, for example, year 7 classroom to maybe year 12 classroom? Do you see any like big difference? Obviously there would be, but just curious.
Even just from like an English perspective, year 7 kids are such readers. They come in with that these primary habits.
And they're reading books like Harry Potter and Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
Like the classics.
The classics.
It's crazy that's a classic now. But I think that's it, that they're still so interested in just pursuing these other hobbies that maybe when you just get a bit older and it gets a little bit busier and it's just easy to let that sort of drop a little bit, but they still come so enthusiastic and so cheery and chirpy or chatty that they just, I don't know, they haven't lost that primary school shine. can see that.
Yeah.
And it gets, particularly in the senior years, and obviously I understand why, just like how that shifts in the serious tone, like you mentioned, when you get to the year 9 and 10 mark, and you sort of have this realization that things are a little bit different than it was when you're in year 7 and 8. Like just their work ethic, they're so eager to please in year 7, and they love having that reinforcement here. Whereas like the positivity for like the senior students, it comes in different forms.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think one thing that the senior students love to make fun of is like the year 7s running to the classrooms.
Oh my God,
it cannot be that serious.
Oh, they line up really early.
They line up. They're like running up the stairs, pushing everyone to the side. I think it's a canon event. Like it has to happen. You know, everyone's excited to go to geography in year 7. But I guess, no, it's something we make fun of, but I think it really comes from like, I guess, envy as well. Just, you know, missing
they're
that
so
enthusiasm.
Joyous.
Yeah. I think being excited to go to school is something, it's everyone's dream, because you go like 5 days a week, right? If you're excited to go, that's even better. You don't want to be dreading going to school.
No.
I think in my personal experience, it kind of did end up going full circle. Like I went from like, oh my gosh, year 7, so exciting, and like running around everywhere and telling my friends like, guys, we got to go. Like it's like 5 minutes before the recess bell ends.
Ready.
And I was like, guys, we got to go. Our classroom's like 2 meters away. We got to go.
Yeah.
And then like, low-key like losing my spark in like the middle of high school, because I was like, okay, like I'm not really interested in some of the subjects I'm doing. Like I just didn't find them interesting as I did before. Like I was more like focused on my studies, like I was stressing about them. And then once I got into senior school and I picked my subjects, like all of my subjects, I enjoy everything I do. Like it's like wow, it really came full circle that I'm back to the being that joyous self I am because of the fact that our school gave us the opportunity of such a wide range of subjects that I could pick what I wanted to do.
Or with electives, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, electives as well.
I think this school is especially very good at giving us that freedom to learn and decide, experiment. I always say for, like, little kids in year 9 and year 8, I always say, you know, when you choose electives, you don't have to be too smart about it. You can just choose something that you're curious about, you know? Yeah. It doesn't have to be, like, a calculated decision. Just,
yeah, you like, don't, like... You know? It's something we've talked about before. Like, you don't have to choose commerce in year 9 to go and do, like, economics in year 11. Yeah.
Choose food tech. Go just for it. Something you're interested in. Something that's fun, you know, because you don't have a lot of those days. I think especially leading up to HSC where everything's kind of like, you know, you have to be disciplined and you have to, like, start really focusing in class. I think that's, like, a freedom. That's, like, a privilege.
Yeah,
you know?
Some of the best memories that, like, I personally have with high school have come from the classes where it wasn't all, you know, like, theory. Like, it wasn't all, like, logical explanations, like you have to study, you have to focus like 7 hours a day on this exact topic in order to understand it. Like, it was never, I think my best like memories come from the classes where it was all discussion driven, where I had a passion for the subject, where I found it interesting. Shout out once again to year 10 philosophy
when we played Jeopardy in class every Friday. My gosh, we had Friday afternoon Jeopardy sessions, and it would be based on content sometimes as well, and you'd be surprised how much people can learn just from playing a game.
Yeah, absolutely, you
know, it's really creative.
I was so violent.
We got aggressive.
We got
passionate. We were angry. Yeah.
We were like, no, you do not deserve to win. I got the answer first. You took too long. Rewinds. But yeah, it's like, oh my God, the Lord of the Flies, like the Spotify playlist we made.
Made a playlist, yeah.
Yeah, it's called cool. Philosophies.
Philosophies.
I love
it.
It's
funny. Yeah.
It's funny.
And I think these things also help high school students become close with each other as well, you know, like these experiences in the classroom. Because I think with our grade, it hasn't really been outside of the classroom, but it's always been, we need some guidance from teachers. And that's another thing, definitely, that teachers help with is helping build connections. Obviously, students do it by themselves, but I think a few times, there have been times where I wouldn't have gotten to know someone if it weren't for sharing a class with them or having a shared favorite teacher or just, you know, you realize you have a shared interest in a topic just because... you know, you're doing something you both love. And especially, I felt that a lot in English, Miss. I think I would not have been as close as I am with people like Patrick or Rihanna if I hadn't had those conversations with them in year 8 English. So genuinely, it helped so much.
I think year 8 English was just such a
prime
event.
Time for everyone.
Yeah,
That was a great curriculum.
No,
literally.
Like, I became best friends with like my best friend Trika, like because of year 8 English.
Yeah.
Like we always sat together. There were so many fond memories of whatever happened in that class that I probably should not share. It was such a moment. Like, as like on the other end of it, like seeing all these kids make those connections. Like, how do you feel being on the other, like seeing all that happen?
It's so special and it's so bizarre that I met you when you were 12 and 13 and oh my now gosh, you're sitting on the other side and you're little tiny children and now like you're really close to being adults and seeing like the evolution that everyone goes through and when they hit their angsty moment they're just not happy with things and everyone does it just looks slightly different but then you know we see you come out of that and we see you like almost like wake up to something different. And that we see you come back when you go and we hear stories. We see you come back tutors. And
no,
like,
coming back, that's the thing we talked about with Ms. Lib. Isn't that, I always wondered because as a student, I've always been like, I want to go back and see my teachers like after I graduate or anything. But I guess as a teacher, it would be even more special. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, how would that feel?
You're like, how long ago did you graduate? And you're like, no, it wasn't that long ago, was it? And you're just like, wow, so much time has passed, but it's so lovely that this has still such a special place for you. And maybe that's why like our alumni are so strong as well.
Yeah.
That
yes.
I know we just have something that's special here.
Alumni culture is really special. We have, and they come back, they give seminars to high school students about, you know, what their career paths might be. Yeah, I think there are so many alumni that I still even know now just because of how many times they've come to the school to talk.
It is really cool. Like when we see like year 11 and 12 students, and you're like, are just a truly awesome person. Aww. And you are going to be so fantastic when you go and you're in the real world and you're at uni and you're at your jobs and you're like, yeah, you're making the world pretty good right now. I think you're exactly what the future needed. And it's so nice to see like you're a little tiny person and now, you are the future. And I can see that it's going to be great because you're in it.
And I think it's truly all thanks to the teachers, like the amazing teachers that we've had at Penrith, like including you. Like you guys have shaped our experience as students so well that like, of course we're going to turn out amazing. Like we had you as teachers.
Yeah.
Very nice. You're so humbling.
And you know what I just realized, Miss? You actually know, like, you're going to know, like, writers, like, doctors, engineers.
Yeah.
You're going to know, like,
we won't. We know them, but then we don't know all of them. But there's all of this, there's all of these people out there that connect back to us in all these different ways that we'll never know. And
yeah, sometimes I find it so interesting because Miss Queet sometimes shares, like, little anecdotes about, like, people she's known who've become, like big things. And one time she shared to us that she taught the treasurer.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. And I was like, wow.
You never really know what's going to happen. So I guess in a way, like, you know, they could be doing things like that. And well, that's cool. You taught them.
Yeah. Like as students, we always joke, like with our friends, we're just like, yeah, we're friends with the next like prime minister. We're friends with like,
yeah.
And it's like, that can be true.
It could be true.
It could very much be true.
So I guess like with all these reasons combined, one thing we can all agree on is why public education is so important and also why Public Education Week is important. I think something a lot of people ask is like, you know, why is there a whole week just dedicated to this? Like we go to school every day. What's the point of there being a week? It's to have conversations like this, I feel like. So Miss, why do you think it's really important? Why do you think it's significant?
I think because we are the everyday and we are the constant thing in society that just keeps on ticking every single day of the year while term is on, that there is activity that's happening here that it's just easy to forget through the hustle and bustle of what it actually means, and to stop and pause and take stock of, you know, this is actually really important, and it's important that every single child can have access to a great education system, that every single child has access to some people that are safe in their lives, and that it doesn't matter, you know, your gender or your racial background or your SES status, that it's all accessible. And yeah, like when life is just continuing on and it's really, really fast, like we just forget the things that actually are valuable and that make society work. And I think we do need to have that moment of pause where we recognize that, you know, schools are a place that everybody will go to, whether it's a public one or a private one, but everyone at some point will access a physical place of education. And because we're so influential, because we touch so many different children's lives and we're involved with so many different families, that we need to recognize that it's important and that it has a value and that we need to keep valuing it so that we can keep investing in it.
Yeah, I fully agree, Miss. It's actually really like...
And you know what? Another thing is really, Miss, did you see the students getting graduation photos?
Oh my God.
I saw them in their gowns as they were walking. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is
and
so real.
I think one thing that I just remembered while you were saying all of that is just really, you know, I think as students, we don't really think about that every day. You know what I mean? But then when you graduate, when you say goodbye to a chapter of your life, it's something that I think you think about so much, is reflecting. I think, you know, even primary school, we were little kids then, you know, weren't thinking too deeply about these things. But even now it's been 5 years and I still think about, you know, moments that I had in year six or teachers that I really wish I could see again and say hi to, you know, that have maybe like left to go teach somewhere else that maybe I won't see again in a while. So it's really, yeah, like genuinely, it's a huge impression that we just can't get rid of. Like we do remember, we do think about it as we grow older. It's something you can't forget easily. And I think it was so funny seeing the graduate people getting their grad photos taken and then just a day later seeing all the OC kids come for their high school taste.
It was such a full circle. It was such a full circle moment.
It was. I thought, did they do that intentionally? Because we just saw like, you know, it was like.
This is their future.
Right. Yeah. The cycle of high school as well. It's it's just, it's kind of bittersweet in a way.
Maybe it helps to bring on some nostalgia as well. And it reminds you why we do need to value it, and we need to keep reflecting on those moments and keep appreciating, like the little OC kids that come here. It's like, you're going to be this person one day, and let's help you grow and let's help you be the best person that you can be, because very quickly it will be you.
Yeah.
And with HSC students, I'm seeing everyone like frantically come to study periods and be So I think another question is really like how do you support these students that are in positions where they're kind of avoiding taking care of their mental health and opting for studying like 10 hours a day instead?
I just hope that, and I just try and remind them like just have a perspective and just, you know, just see your bigger picture is just not always this goal of getting this particular mark or this particular ATAR, that there's more to you than this, and that's okay, and that's what it should be, that you need to value yourselves as well, and just try to promote, just you need to look after yourself, because no one else can look after you the way that you can. And now that you're older as well, your parents have a different role, so, you know, keeping yourself healthy and you're keeping yourself feeling sane when you're in a really insane moment in study, that those things are what are really important. So maybe just to help the perspective stay on track and just to give that little bit of sage advice every now and then, that, you know, things will be okay. It'll work out in the end. And if it doesn't, there's always a million other ways that you can get to the outcome that you want.
Yeah, just kind of adding on to that, what advice would you give kids just starting high school?
I think just be true to yourself. You know, don't forget who you are and know that that person will change and grow, and that's okay. But don't feel like you have to be someone that you're not just because you're somewhere new and because you've got a new group of friends, that, you know, you are the best person and the best friend that you can ever hope for. So I don't think you should change for everybody else. Like, you will change undoubtedly, and that's okay. Also maybe not to be afraid of just trying different experiences and putting your hand up for all of the different opportunities Definitely. That we have here, because there are so many extracurriculars and so many clubs and
so many
so many activities that you will find something, but you just have to, maybe sometimes it's about being brave and not being scared, or it's just about just giving it a chance, just having, I don't know, the capacity just to feel like you'll try something different, that just see what's out there, and that if you don't feel like you have a place, you will find a place and you will find your people. Sometimes it just takes a bit of time. So patience, it comes. You just have to be patient.
No, yeah, and I think patience, especially because it's like, I mean, coming into high school, we think, oh, 6 years. I mean, this is going to, like, you know what I mean?
It's
going to be, it's going to take so long, but it's already year 11 for us, you know?
We blinked and it was over.
Yeah, nearly the end of year 11 as well.
You're about to be in year 12.
I mean, we got a notification on Classroom yesterday by Miss Ari, by our year advisor, and she said, oh, this is how I sleep, knowing that the year 12 jackets have been ordered and they will be coming week one, term four. And it was like this, like, photo.
It's
like,
real.
Yeah. It's real. And I told my mom, and she got sad. She was like, no way, that's crazy. My kid's in year 12 now. And I was like, that's reality.
Like, I remember being like a little kid, seeing my sister get her senior jacket. And I was like, wow, that's so far away from me. Like, it's so far away. Like, the year 12s when we were kids seemed like so, they seemed so put together. They seemed like such big kids. Yeah. And I was like, wow, it's us.
And it also makes you realize though, that those people that we thought were big kids, they probably felt the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
They didn't know what they were doing, or at least they thought that, you know. Yeah.
And it's also basically, like, the little kids think of us as big kids. Yeah. Like, we're their role model. Like, that's crazy.
And you thinking that, you know, the big kids that were there when you were in year 7, yeah, that they did feel so many of the same feelings that you do, and that outside, from an outsider looking in, it looks like everyone's so together and they know what they're doing, but, you know, they have the same anxieties and they have the same worries and they have the same, oh my gosh, I've only got 3 more terms left of school and then I'm done. But yeah, going back to the jackets, it does feel like so symbolically important that you have this item that represents your growth.
Definitely. And honestly, I think that, just to sum up this whole episode, to wrap it up, I feel like genuinely the whole conversation is just surrounding gratitude, really. Gratitude for education, gratitude for having this privilege that we do have coming to a selective school, especially. 100%, right? Yeah, and gratitude to be able to see it from start, beginning. Start to the end. Sorry. Start to the end. Miss, for you guys, especially, I think, you know, it's sad and it's incredible on both ends.
I know, it has such a bittersweet moment that we do see you from little people grow into the adults and then you're gone, and sometimes we don't see you again. Like, sometimes people don't come back, and, you know, that's also to be expected. You are living the next stage of your life. You can't keep coming back to school to give us little updates on what you're doing. But it does have this bittersweet moment that we know that you're leaving and that you are now just so much more grown up than you were when you came here, or that you're sure of the adult that you're going to be, or the direction that your life is going to take you, or even if you don't know, that you feel really, like, happy about what that uncertainty might be. And that I think most people would reflect, like, really fondly back on their time. And then we can just feel really happy that we're sort of, like, letting you loose into the world, like, as happy and as well prepared as you possibly can be.
Really.
And then, yes, like, the next page is like, that's up to you.
It's well said, miss.
Yeah.
That was really well said, actually. I felt like really emotional this
episode. Yeah, I was like tearing up and I was like, oh my gosh.
No,
this entire episode, I've like low-key been tearing up. I'm like, wow, just thinking about it and how much of an impact everyone has had on our lives, like as students, like for teachers too.
I think that's like Education Week. Like it's the moment of reflection and it brings out the things that you're feeling nostalgic about or you're feeling that sad about that's ending, but it's something that we can all connect with and share with.
Yeah, I think 100%. that really sums it up.
Mm. Yeah, so I guess that wraps up today's episode.
Like we end up so sad.
Thank you so much for joining us, Miss, today. Thank you for taking time off class to speak with us about this.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been so nice to talk to you girls about public education, but also just to be with you again.
Time has gone by fast today.
Really quickly.
Yeah. Time flies. And the bell's about to ring. It went by so fast.
Yeah. Okay. But that's it for today's episode of the Penrith Perception. We hope you enjoy the inspiring words of your community and culture. Thank you so much to everyone who shared their experiences and words.
Thank you for listening. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Penrith Perception, a podcast made by the multimedia team. To support us, feel free to follow us on Spotify. You can also find us on Instagram at the Penrith Perception for more news, behind the scenes material, and upcoming episodes. This podcast was recorded on Darug land, always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
The Penrith Perception is executive produced by Shamila Faisal, Reet Kanda, and Dimity Skardanis. Mixed and edited by Sneepa Nishani, Sachika Chakraborty, and Jasmine Sohi. Scripted by Marlena Hanna and Studi Biswas. Graphic design by Abby Chi and Mariam Ahmed. Music composed by Preetam Telugu.